Travis Ryer. Hope you're well. Welcome into the game.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. Just watching our national media friends pepper Alabama Nick Saban.
Well, you kind of knew that was coming, regardless of what Saban set up there this evening. That was not a press conference he was going to win. And I think in sticking with his guns and being probably more honest in his true thoughts than a lot of people would have been in that same situation, he left the door open for those who are probably his most ardent detractors to take some shots. And you know, when you gamble and you take chances on talent, which, let's be honest, that's what this was with Jonathan Taylor, that's sort of what you expose yourself to begin with. And again, the aftermath wasn't going to be pretty for anyone involved, and in a lot of ways it shouldn't have been, but it went down, I thought, Ryan, I don't know, maybe you feel differently about the way I expected it to tonight. I expected there to be some sense of contrition, but I wasn't expecting a full-blown apology, and I thought it kind of played out that way on both ends.
Is that what people wanted? I mean, did they want an apology?
You know, I do, and I just wrote something for BamaOnline.com. It's in the thread that I did practice thoughts on, and also with the press conference thoughts. I really do. And my question was, other than the victim, who really deserves an apology? Who really should be getting an apology from, you know, I guess if you're an alum or you feel like it's stained the reputation of the university, I guess you could call for that. But to me, the only person involved in this that really truly deserves an apology is the young lady that Taylor allegedly assaulted. That's to me, that's where it starts and ends. Now, again, there needed to be some sense of responsibility taken, I felt like, by UA and Saban. And I think, you know, whether or not you felt like he went to the extent you would have liked, I do think that was achieved in some sense. But yeah, I do. I think there's a lot of people out there who feel like they're owed an apology, and believe me, I've expressed my disapproval in the whole situation, but I've never felt like a football coach owed me a personal apology for something that didn't affect a situation close to me. You know what I mean?
You and I are very similar.
Within my own house.
Yeah, you and I are very similar. When we look at domestic violence, both of us have talked about it on this program that we're against it, that Jonathan Taylor should have really never been a part of this signing class. But at the end of the day, I didn't have a problem with Nick Saban's press conference. I mean, to me, I've covered Nick Saban, and you have as well, since he arrived here. I thought you could see to me, that's as low as you go with Nick Saban. He's not going to get on his hands and knees and ask for forgiveness.
No.
I mean, to me, that right there for Nick Saban was a humbling experience to say, hey, sorry, I made a mistake.
Well, he did say that he felt like it was a learning experience and that they learned something from it. That's most important to me at this point. Did they really learn something from this? And, Ryan, that's something we can't learn or find out for ourselves until and if they put themselves in this situation again. You know, if Saban goes out and UA goes out and recruits and admits an individual with these type of red flags again, then that's going to say to me that they probably didn't learn. But as far as apologies go, again, the victim, maybe her family, sure. But now what we need to see from Saban and UA is exactly how much they learned themselves from all of this. And, you know, to me it's just there's a difference between reclamation projects, okay, things that we take on in our lives that require rebuilding, rehabilitation. And then there's straight out dumpster diving. I hate to call it that, but there's really not a better way of putting it that I know. And I feel like Alabama with Taylor did more of the latter than they did a reclamation project. You know, they went dumpster diving, and you know, they got what they went looking for, unfortunately.
Travis, 2 months after this, we know the situation now, but can you help me put a finger on the pulse? Why did Nick Saban do this? I mean, is this trying to go to my coaching buddies? I did something that you couldn't do. I turned your guy around. No. Why did he take him?
It's value. It's value on the football field. And look, I respect and I understand that coaches, Nick Saban's not the only one, that they'll tell us that it's all about giving young people a second chance. Well, there's a lot of people out there that need a second chance that aren't 6'4", 330 pounds and can dominate the point of attack. Okay? They're not getting second chances that a guy like Jonathan Taylor is getting, or guy. So you tell me what it goes back to. I mean, it starts with the fact that this guy is a massive talent who can help you win. That's it. I mean, I thought we all understood that, too. I mean, this you know, that's why you have an unsavory element in pretty much every big-time college football program out there. It's a part of the big-time college football fabric, you know, with the exception of maybe a very few places. It's like the old saying goes, we want our football players to be Princeton Sunday to Friday, you know, but then we want them to be the old Oakland Raiders on Saturday. Savages. Well, it's hard to have it both ways. It's nearly impossible.
Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, an affiliation with CBS Sports, presented by Peterbrook Chocolatier here in Tuscaloosa on the game on Tide 99.1. As we move forward, staying on the football side, Geno Smith, second DUI. That was another sort of black eye for the university over the weekend. Nick Saban addressed that. Were you shocked that he's still part of the football team?
I wasn't shocked. It's not even about a suspension with me. It's more of a concern of, does this young person have a problem that might be best addressed if all of his focus for a extended period of time was on the issue rather than it being just a fraction of his focus or part, you know, even half. My concern is if you've got a schedule that includes full-time academics, football, athletics, trying to have some semblance of a social life, I would think it would be hard to really give the focus to that issue that you'd want to. Now, I'm sure there's experts and counselors out there that refute that. And that's certainly not my area of expertise, thankfully. But that's my biggest concern with Geno Smith right now, is this has happened a couple times now in a couple of years. So it says to me that the issue goes beyond just a couple of dumb mistakes. There's a problem here that's bigger than even the mistakes he's made to date. It's the ones that he could still make and how it could truly negatively impact not only his life but the lives of others. So that's where I'm at with him. If there's a way that you can still incorporate football and all those things, and he's able to get the help he needs to get to where he needs to be, that's fine. My concern is, can you really do that in the setting that he's been in for the last 4 years that's produced two DUIs?
Travis, let's go to another topic of conversation. For the 10,000th time, we'll ask you, does Greg Marshall end up in Tuscaloosa? What do you think is the latest there? If you can give us some sort of update, if you've got anything. But Bill Battle coming back to Tuscaloosa without Greg Marshall in that plane, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's sort of in standby mode, I would say, right now. I don't know, unless something comes from Marshall himself this evening, I would think that we head into Tuesday morning still in kind of a wait and see approach to try to understand where it's at with Marshall. We haven't heard anything. I would think that if it was a definite that he was staying at Wichita, which that now appears to be probably the longest of shots, I would think we would know that after Battle got on the plane, I would think. But the guess here is that it's still somewhat open-ended with Marshall and Alabama, and that's definitely not the worst thing if you're UA. That would probably be taken as a positive, I would think, that maybe there's some formalities that need to be taken care of on Marshall's end and then finalizing the deal in the next 24, 48 hours. But you've got to think by midday or tomorrow afternoon, we know something pretty definitive with Greg Marshall in Alabama, I would think.